Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Marcia Pilgrim is here to commence another chapter of Office Wife.
It's all very well for Jeff to stamp all over the place mad with indignation, but there's altogether too much smoke flying about for there not to be any fire at all. I hear things from Uncle Bendigo and Angela Tennant and Harry Palmer about Jeff and Stella Bronson. And they're not all fools. And now, not 10 minutes ago, in walked Percy Fleming, wanting to know would I please find out for him why Millie Moffat was crying on Jeff's shoulder this evening, when practically everyone else had left the office. There must be something going on. This sort of thing couldn't happen of its own accord.
I've had as much as I'm going to stand from you, Marcia, about my secretary. Now, don't let's have a repeat performance about the switchboard girl.
Then why should Mr. Fleming ask me to find out why she was crying all over you?
Because he hadn't the sense to mind his own confounded business.
Isn't it his business when his staff rushes about weeping their eyes out?
Well, I'll tell you, but I wouldn't tell him. Millie was having a howl because Harry Palmer's dropped her for Stella. Now, there. Does that satisfy you?
What did she want to come to you for?
She didn't come to me. She was sent for, and she just happened to be bawling anyway.
And that was your cue to shove on your big brother act.
Look here, wife. I'm not going halves with you in this quarter-witted shouting match any longer. Good night.
You come back here, Jeff.
I told you, I won't discuss it.
Well, you don't have to rush off in a huff, do you?
One of these days, I'm going to rush clean out of our marriage. What next? If you go through the females at Tressida Bendigo and Company like this, one by one, I'll be 90 before we come to the end of them, and you'll still be suspicious of me and the charlady. Good night.
Morning, Jeff. Sorry to keep you waiting.
That's all right, Mr. Puller. May I smoke?
Yes, if you offer me one.
Well, I happen to be your brand. What's happened, sir?
Make yourself comfortable. This will take some time. How soon can you get away again for me?
Well, say 4 or 5 days. Where to this time?
The West. You'll have to take at least a fortnight.
You want me to go alone, I presume?
Alone? What's the matter? Doesn't Bendigo give you a secretary anymore?
Oh, now, hold your horses. You mean you want me to take Miss Bronson?
A darn fool if you don't. What's a secretary for? Well, is it settled? Shall I make bookings for the two of you?
I'd appreciate it if you'd make bookings for three. My wife. At my expense, of course.
Oh, that's your affair, of course. Doesn't your wife trust you?
My wife has complete confidence in anything I do. But I happen to enjoy her company. And I don't care to miss a fortnight of it.
When you look like that, you ought to be in the movies, young fellow. You're good looking enough. Off your luck. How is your wife, anyway?
Never better, sir.
Glad to hear it. What about that secretary of yours? She's still thriving, too?
As far as I'm aware, Mr. Puller. But I only see her from 9 to 5.
All right. All right. No more leg pulling. Let's get down to brass tacks. Now, here's what you're in for. The moment you get there, I want you to have a conference with my Western chap
and lay down the floor.
Just this morning, Stella. I haven't seen him land.
He came in early and then rushed off full of importance to see Benny Puller.
Aha. Another trip away?
I think so. Well, I'm not sure.
I hope it is. If he takes you away again, then we can really get cracking.
Don't be silly. He'll have Marcia along hanging onto his coattails like a kid learning to skate.
Maybe we can fix something. Now, look, while we've half an hour together, you and I have to be as cunning as weasels for a week or two.
Uh-huh. Why?
Millie Moffat. She's working up a head of steam over you and me, and if we're not careful, she'll blow up.
Oh, hang the little shrimp. What do you want to get involved there for in the first place?
Millie has ears like the ass in Midsummer Night's Dream. She comes in very handy on that switchboard of hers. Also, she listens very nicely to Benny Goodman records.
Oh, thank heaven I'll never be in danger of falling for you, Palmer.
Don't underestimate me, beautiful. Anyway, Millie knows enough to make things awkward, so...
So you have to pay her some attention to shut her dear little rosebud mouth.
You know, Pet, being spurned by our friend Jeffrey's made quite a change in you.
If you're spurned by our friend Millie Moffat, it'll make quite a change in us both. So tie a great big Windsor knot for her, Harry. She likes you sharp, doesn't she?
If you wanted to, you could be really tough, couldn't you?
I do want to, and I am tough.
That sounded almost like a warning.
It was. Now, seeing you're under fire from the Mistress Moffat, I don't expect as much good asking you to take me to lunch.
How right you are. And I couldn't if I wanted to. Or didn't I tell you? I have a date with Marcia Pilgrim.
Who made it?
She did.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll try Miles Hendricks. I think he'll be enchanted.
I hope I didn't sound chilly last night, Marcia, darling, but I simply didn't expect the pleasure.
That's right. Marta Rita.
Oh, I mean it. Anyway, what gives?
I'm in a spot, Harry. I'm determined to get rid of Stella Bronson. Get her out of the firm, I mean. But if I go about it openly, there'll be the dickens to pay.
Jeff won't hear of it, eh?
That seems to be the general idea. Whenever I broach the subject, he always says he runs his own office, and that's it.
Well, hang it all. What's wrong with Uncle Tresidder? He only has to blink an eyelid, and we're all out in the snow.
Oh, no. Can't be done by approaching either Uncle Tresidder or Percy Fleming. I thought you might have some ideas.
No, I'll fix it for you immediately after lunch. I'll just say, Miss Bronson, get your wages and scrap.
Now, don't be funny, Harry. There's a chum. I'm not in the mood.
I thought you were making with the funny remarks. Now, what the dickens can I do to help you get La Bronson away from your hubby?
Haven't you been dining out for years on your reputation as an idea man?
I have a reasonably decent IQ, but so what?
Listen, Harry. Going over Jeff's head to fire his secretary is about the only string I can't pull at Tresidder, Bendigo and Company. Catch on?
No.
If you came up with a bright idea or two, who knows what Uncle Tresidder might decide to do for you.
Uncle Tresidder?
All right, what I might decide to do for you. And what Uncle Tresidder would do for me.
Honey, you interest me.
Well, who couldn't use an extra 100 a year or so? How long since you had a rise?
2 down long altogether.
Well, now you know how to get one, don't you? Isn't it about time we were thinking about food?
Oh, did I miss anything while I was with Benny Puller this morning?
Nothing important, Jeff. You'll find a note or two on your pad.
All right, thanks. Have you any hard and fast arrangements for the 2 weeks after next?
No. Why? We're going camping.
We are required to spend 2 weeks in the West at Mr. Benjamin Puller's expense. How's that?
Oh, fine. I knew I did the right thing, taking this job.
No, don't start jumping up and down. I'm only going to work. The same as last time, remember?
It's fun, just the same.
For your sake, I'm hoping that Puller's Western staff includes one or two reasonably presentable junior executives.
Oh?
Well, naturally, I'll be taking Marcia with us.
You mean you'll be taking Marcia with you?
Yes.
I'm pleased to hear it.
Good. I'll be at Puller's for the rest of the afternoon, so you can fill it in any way you like. Oh, I'll tell you what, Stella. Firm owes you some time. Do you care to clear off?
Well, unless I go to the pictures, there's not much I can do, Jeff. I'll see if I can get ahead with some of your work.
Miss Bronson, there are times when you make me feel a boor.
Why, Mr. Pilgrim, you... with an inferiority complex. Harry, it's on.
What, are you and Jeff going away again together?
To the West for a fortnight.
Well, things are beginning to shape up nicely. What shall I tell you? Do you know what Marcia invited me to lunch for? To figure out ways and means of getting rid of you.
Not really.
Yes. In her own words, if I come to light with some bright ideas, she'll get me a couple of quid a week rise. It was all I could do not to scream in her face.
But if she's so hard-pressed, it only means that Jeff won't let her get rid of me by ordinary means.
Darling, that's exactly right. I suppose Jeff will take Marcia with him.
He was at great pains to point that out to me. If only we could stop her going.
Yes, if only. But that's what I'd call a tall order. She'll cling to her loved one like the proverbial limpet.
Mm. We've just under a week to work something out.
Well, short of getting her run over by a taxi cab or something, I don't see at the moment how we can stop her.
We'd stop her quick enough if she decided she didn't want to go.
Meaning me?
You're really very good looking.
Not a chance. Jeffrey's her man, even if he'd do her row home. No, Stella. Give me some time to think, and something will turn up. Something. It must. Because, Stella, with Marcia wanting you fired, and Jeff going away, between those two circumstances, there's an opportunity we mightn't ever get again. Ever.
An opportunity we might never get again. Harry Palmer's quite right. And it so happens that I've just a glimmer of an idea. Not much, perhaps. An idea, just to say. Oh, how perfect if it works.
We invite you to listen again to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.